appreciate that.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get into our Bibles, get into the Word of God today. We're going to Philippians today, the book of Philippians in the New Testament there, chapter 3 is where we're going to go today. Just want to preach to you today on this thought, start the new year off right. Or start the year off right, however we want to say it, start the year off right. But the things I'm going to give you today are things to continue doing the whole year. And they're going to be simple things, but things that we need to do to make the whole year go right. Amen. And I pray that the Lord will help us do that. If you're able, let's stand for the reading. We're going to go to Philippians 3:10 and read down through verse 14. Philippians 3:10 down through verse 14. Here the Bible says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, guide and direct us today. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the example of the Apostle Paul. And I pray, Lord, You'd help us to learn some things here today that we can apply to this new year and carry throughout this year, Lord, and throughout our Christian lives. And Lord, just give us Your power today. Speak to our hearts and give us clarity of thought and speech as we go through this message this morning. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Start the year off right. Paul here is making probably what we would call some resolutions. He's making some commitments. He's expressing some sacred desires right here. He wants to know the Lord better. Amen. That's a good one right there, right? And he wants to know the Lord better, and he's got spiritual goals here. He wants to follow the Lord. Now, I looked this up. This week, I looked this up. The top resolutions for Americans, the top resolutions that people make is one, save money, two, get healthy, three, more time with family, in that order. So money's the most important, then your health, and then your family, according to that, all right? No, I'm kidding, but that is top resolutions that people make. There's a lot more. But those are things that people are concerned about. Now, if you read the epistles, the letters of the Apostle Paul, well, all of those things are in there. So he doesn't exclude any of that. He teaches on family, and he teaches on good health, and he teaches on money, I mean, and to be a giver and all of that. So all those things are in there. But Paul's list of resolutions, if you will, would be different than most. And I believe we have some of them right here, what he's talking about here. And his have priority to them. His have the priority of the eternal over the temporal. His have the priority of the spiritual over the material. Amen. He had lofty goals. He had spiritual goals. He was concerned about the things of God. And he understood, by the way, as a Christian, you do not divide your life between the secular and the sacred. Hey, if you're a Christian, everything's sacred, amen? All is to be done to the glory of God, right? So we don't say, hey, I'm going to be a Christian on Sunday and then the rest of the week, and, you know, I'm just me. No, he said, I want to know the Lord, and I want to grow in the Lord every day of my life. Now, he says there that he wants to know the Lord, and he says he wants to know the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a key right there to your Christian life. If you get tuned in with the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that's the power that needs to be at work in the Christian life today. Amen? You need to fight temptation successfully, and you need to have the peace of God in your heart as you go through the troubles and trials of life. It's the power of the resurrection. So he believed in the resurrected Savior, the living Lord that can help us every day. Amen? So he certainly did have some lofty goals, and they were prioritized, and they were spiritual goals. He said elsewhere in 1 Timothy, he said, for bodily exercise profiteth little. I've read this recently. Bodily exercise profiteth little. And I believe that, so I don't exercise. It's, you know, no, kidding. That's not his point. But he's, again, making a comparison to the eternal, all right? Bodily exercise profiteth little because it's just for the here and now. That's what he's talking about. But godliness is profitable unto all things. So he says, look, exercise, be healthy, do all that stuff. And that's fine, but it's only going to help that body that you live in right now. Because that body is not eternal. It's the spirit and the soul that's eternal. So he said godliness is not just for a few things, little things here and now. He said it's for all things. In fact, he went on to say, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. That latter phrase just gets me. The life that now, you know, Paul had a reality about the life that now is, that you're living today. But you know, most folks don't seem to realize it's not all about your earthly life. It's about the life that is to come. There's a whole lot more that God has in store for us. Amen? Now, the life to come for some people is hell because they reject Christ and they want to do their own thing and they think this life is the only life. But they got it all wrong. They need to understand that this life is temporal, and what you do with Jesus in this life determines the life that is to come and will come, right? You don't end your life because your spirit and soul is eternal. You might end your body breathing and functioning, but you as a person goes on forever. So his goals had to do with spiritual matters. His goals had to do with getting to know the Lord better. He says here, just paraphrasing, he says here, the great apostle, he didn't see himself as great. He said, I've not arrived. I got a lot of growing to do. The apostle Paul had a lot of growing to do. Well, if the apostle Paul still had a lot of growing to do, I dare say I do as well. Amen. We all do, right? If he said, I hadn't arrived, I hadn't attained, I hadn't met my goals yet. You might have had some spiritual goals last year. You might have had any kind of goals last year that you did not reach, and you got very disappointed because your dreams were shattered because you didn't reach that goal. Or maybe you threw it aside and just didn't care anymore. I don't know. But it's disappointing when you set a goal and you can't reach it, right? You set a goal and you don't reach it. By the way, that's why you need to set reasonable goals. You need to understand yourself. Amen. You do set yourself up for failure sometimes if you try to do too much. When I was in Bible college, I heard a preacher say, he said he was reading those biographies of those old men, George Mueller and John Wesley, and he said, those men get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and prayed for 4 hours, and I tried to do it, and it about killed me. You know, sometimes you do read great lives, and then you say, that's what I'm going to be and do. Well, that may not be God's plan for you, you know. You may not be equipped that way, and don't get me wrong, I'm not putting down you getting up early and praying. You understand what I'm saying. But you cannot perhaps, don't compare yourself to others. Don't set yourself up for failure by unrealistic resolutions or goals, right? But this thing about spiritual commitment and spiritual goals, hey, don't ever stop having a desire to grow in the Lord. Amen? If you want to have a great year this year, that's certainly what you need to do. And I got several points today, so I need to get to them here in just a moment. I will. Let me read something to you. This is a commentary. It says, too many saints are self-centered about their salvation. They see salvation from the standpoint of what it does for them and not from the standpoint of what purpose God has in it for himself. Their concern is, what can God do for me, not what can I do for God. Paul's aim was to learn what God's purpose was for Paul. What's God's purpose? I think that's a pretty good way to look at it. Oh, I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. And you know what, folks? I think if you're saved, you want to live for the Savior and please Him. Amen? But you know, a lot of folks are like, well, I'm saved. It's good. I'm going to heaven. That's all I care about. And they go out and live like they want to and don't have any regard for obeying the Savior and obeying the Lord. That's not the way the Christian life is supposed to work. We're supposed to have a desire in our heart, and I believe the Holy Spirit put it there, to say, I want to please the Lord. I don't want to live in sin anymore, right? I've been saved from it, so I want to live for the Lord. So that's what Paul certainly is talking about right here. And he doesn't, you know, he didn't think he was so spiritual that he didn't need to read the Bible anymore. He didn't think he was so spiritual that he didn't need to pray anymore. He didn't think he was so spiritual that he didn't need to go to church anymore, right? If you ever get there, then you think you're some great Christian. Well, you're not anymore. This was just, we call him a great Christian, but he was just a humble servant. He didn't see himself as great or humble. And if we ever see ourselves as great and humble, we're neither one, right? But we need to ask the Lord to help us with these things. So how is it that you and I can set some goals like he set right here in his life, put some old things in the past and reach forth to the prize of the high calling of God that he's talking about right here? How can we do that? I'm going to give you several points today, so I need to get started. Number one, I'm going to say this, spend time in God's Word. I told Brother Jason, now what I say and what you put on the screen are going to be two different things. And he said it usually is. But anyway, but this time it's on purpose, all right? This time I meant to do it, okay? But what I'm saying to you, number one, and he's got Bible up there and it's in small letters. I got a lot of points today, so y'all hang on. But anyway, if you wanted to have a great year, spend time in God's Word. Amen. I'll be brief on everyone, but spend time in God's Word. He said that I may know him. You know how you're going to know him? Get in his Word. Jesus is the Word. Get to know the Word. You'll get to know Jesus. Stay in the Gospels and get to know the life of Christ and the teachings of Christ. Get into those epistles, those letters that build on the teachings of Christ. Get into the Bible. Learn the prophets. This is a great time to be reading in the book of Genesis, the start of everything at the start of the year. But get into the Bible. I like what Adrian Rogers said, that the Bible is not just historical, it's spiritual and devotional as well. Sure, we'll learn the history of the Bible, but folks, it's more than the historical, it's the spiritual and the devotional. It is your spiritual food to feed your faith and your soul. If you're going to make it day in and day out, you're going to have to be in the Word, abiding in Christ, John 15 tells us, day in and day out, right? This Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this Bible. That is true. You'll do better in your Christian life if you're in the Word. If you're trying to do it by yourself, you're going to fail, and you're not going to get very far in any kind of spiritual attainment or spiritual goal. The Bible will get us ready for spiritual work in the battles that the devil and the world and this flesh has ready for us. We got to be in the Bible. Amen? So spend time in God's Word. I'll say this to you as well. Those Bible reading schedules, they'll give you three chapters a day. You'll get through the Bible in a year. You know, for some folks, that may be a little much. You get behind and you get discouraged and you quit. Hey, if a chapter a day works better for you, then do that. Don't worry about the, again, don't set yourself up for failure to where you quit. I have a problem reading, three chapters like that because I'm going to stop and study it, and I'm going to get a sermon out of it somewhere, out of a verse. So sometimes, I have to just listen to it or do my speed reading to get through it, but I'm going to find myself studying it too, which is good and fine. But sometimes we speed read and don't get anything out of it is what I'm trying to say. Use the devotional books. They'll help you as well. So first, spend time in God's Word. Number two is this, meditate on the gospel. Meditate on the gospel. All right, what I mean by this is realize what it means to be saved. And to do that, you got to realize what it meant when you were lost. You were on your way to hell. You started out that way, right? John 3, the Bible says you were condemned already. Well, I think when I get to heaven, God is going to look at my record and say, well, I was a pretty good guy. I think I'll make it in. And God's going to say, no. You were condemned already. Condemned to hell already. You started out that way, but thank God he sent his son and he made a way to change that path. Amen? And that condemnation of hell that we already had hanging over us, that death penalty, the wages of sin is death, the Lord made a way. The Lord covered our sins by his blood, shedding his blood on the cross. And folks, I'm saying this, meditate on the gospel. Get to understand the gospel. Get to realize what that means. And I think the more that you and I think about the sacrifice Jesus made to save our souls, the more we'll appreciate our salvation. It's not anything that we work towards or work for. It has to be of the Lord. In fact, let me look back at this. In verse 9 of our text, verse 9, he says, to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul said, basically, you know what he said? If anybody could make it to heaven by doing good, he said, I think I could. He said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was as religious as you get. He said, but my faith is not in that. My faith is in Christ for my salvation. Hey, if somebody puts their faith in their religion and their good works, they're going to be gravely disappointed at the end of their life. It has to be faith in Christ. It is by grace through faith, simply. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't reach heaven by yourself. Jesus did the work, and you just put your faith in Him and trust Him to be your Savior. Amen? That's the way the thing works. We need to meditate on the gospel, and I think the more we think about the gospel, the good news, the salvation by faith, the more we'll appreciate the salvation that we have. You get to heaven saying, oh, I worked my way here. The Lord said, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not going to brag about it. We're going to brag on Jesus. Amen? The gospel. Meditate on the gospel. Let me say this to you. Number three is this. Speak often with the Lord. Prayer is what we're talking about. Speak often with the Lord. Hey, talk to the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Like Enoch walked with God. Amen? He said, I want to know the Lord more. He said, I want to know more about His the power of the resurrection in my life. He said, I want to know more about these things. I want to know more even about His sufferings. He says, I want to know more about the Lord. How are you going to do that? Communication. How are you going to get to know your spouse better? Communication. How are you going to get to know anybody better? Communication. Y'all were having good fellowship a little while ago. You get to know one another. Amen. I like that. I like when church folks get to know one another. You speak often with the Lord. And He talked here about the resurrected Savior. You know what? We're not serving a dead Savior today. We're not serving a dead religious leader. We're talking to one. We're talking about one that we can talk to, and He can talk to us. Amen. By His Word and by His Spirit and by prayer, you can stay in tune and you can stay in touch with heaven all the time. Amen. All throughout this year, whatever's going on, whether it be good or bad, talk to Jesus about it. Stay in tune. Stay in touch. Speak often with the Lord. Pray without ceasing, Paul said elsewhere. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, He's a living Savior today, and He wants your constant fellowship? You know, so many, I don't want to bother God. You're not bothering God. Parents, you love to hear from your children. You don't look at that as a bother, right? And God doesn't look at it as a bother whenever you call on Him about whatever. Amen. Talk to God. If it's important to you, it's important to Him. You need to speak often with the Lord. You need to stay in touch there with the Lord. Speak to Him and ask of Him there on a regular basis. Amen. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Now we're talking about, you say, preacher, I think I'm figuring it out. You're talking about basic things here today. You're talking about basic Christianity here today. Bible and gospel and prayer. We got to have these things. Amen. We got to have these things. Speak often with the Lord. Let me give you number four. Fellowship with other Christians. Fellowship with other Christians. That's best done at the church house. Amen? We go to church and we fellowship with other Christians. The Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Amen? So much the more as you see the day approaching. Not less. Not less. Y'all hear me here now? Do you see the day approaching? You think it's getting close for the Lord's return? He said, go to church more, not less. Hey, go to the Bible study group. Go to the Sunday school class. Go to the evening services. They'll bless your heart. Amen, Sunday night and Wednesday night. They'll bless your heart. They'll help you out. Go to these things. Remember that Jesus died for the church and God gave it to us. Don't ever be one of those who says, I don't need the church, because the Lord doesn't agree with you about that. He died for the church. He gave you the church. He gave you the local church, by the way. Amen. Hey, look, radio preachers is great. TV preachers, that can be great. Let me say it like that. It can be good. It can be helpful. But I'm going to tell you, God's plan is right here in the local church. When you see the word church in the Bible, most times it's talking about a local assembly. Like this is where God does His work. Oh, you know, you say, well, I know there's a church on every corner, just too many churches. You don't have too many churches. You're just getting the one God wants for you. Amen? That's the right one. That's the right church to be in. I was thinking about this, my hometown, they got a lot of Southern Baptist churches, a lot of them. But they've got north side, east side, west side, south side. Boy, they covered it all, didn't they? And then a dozen more in between. And north side and west side are big, and the other two are little. One preacher retired from north side, big church, he retired. And then he found himself over at south side Baptist church, just preaching in his retirement. People loved the guy. They all left the other church and went to that church. And somebody told me when I was home, they said, I'd really like to go over to Southside, but you can't get a seat in that place. It's a little church, so I guess he needs to go back to the big church, right? But anyways, he's like, I'm supposed to be retired, people, you know, is what he's thinking. But anyway, but you can't have too many churches. Good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. And the Lord wants us to get in the one that He has according to His will, for us to live, to serve in and to worship together and to learn about the people and to learn about the needs and to pray for each other, bear you one another's burdens. Hey, we do most of that on Wednesday night or in Sunday school. We share prayer requests and do all those things. And it's not about gossip. It's about learning one another. And it's about learning how to pray for one another. Church is a wonderful support system. Church is a place for Christian fellowship. And by the way, I'd say this. It's not only good godly friendships in the church, but even out of the church. I look for the brethren on the job, too. You might be able to find some. I hope you can find a good brother or sister in the workplace as well. Boy, what a blessing that is when you can find it. Amen? And you go in tomorrow morning and you tell them what your preacher preached and they can tell you what their preacher preached and talk about the Bible and what you might have read in the Scriptures. Amen? A whole lot better than what the rest of that crowd's talking about. Amen? We need to be talking about the right things. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times and a brother is born for adversity. I like church. Amen? I like church. I'm a little guilty today. I feel bad. I wore my Steelers tie today. I never do that. I don't worship these folks, and I wore it to church. I feel a little bad about it. Wait a minute. Now, I had my priorities right. They were on last night, and late last night. And I'm like, look, Saturday nights are sacred. I can't spend my Saturday night staying up late watching a football game. So I watched the first half, and I went to bed. They lost 2 points, they lost by 2 points. And I said, boy, I'd have really been mad if I'd have stayed up for that one. Amen, right? But they're in the playoffs. That's why I wore my tie, because I probably won't get to wear it again. So I thought I'd wear my tie today about that. But listen, what am I getting at? I do believe Saturday nights are sacred. Get you ready for this. I'm not going to stay up half the night Saturday night watching an ungodly movie. Of course, I'm not going to watch an ungodly movie any time, by the way, but much less on Saturday night, because why? I want to come to church and have my mind focused on the Lord, amen, and on the people of God. Let's worship together and let's serve together. A friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. Somebody has said this. There are some wonderful people on this earth who are faithful and loyal and who will help you in times of trouble. I want to tell you what. You'll find that crowd in your church. Y'all believe that? Wonderful friends who are faithful and loyal and will help you in time of trouble. That crowd's in the church right there. Amen? So I want you to be sure and focus on that as well. Let me give you number five. Number five is share your testimony often. Witness is what we're talking about. Share your testimony often. Paul did. Paul's goals were to know the Lord better, but you read throughout the book of Acts, Paul was telling his testimony. He told his story over and over and over again. How did you come to know the Savior? How did you get saved? Tell somebody about it. Share the gospel. Listen, you can use gospel tracts, and I encourage you to leave gospel tracts, but sometimes, folks, you just need to engage somebody in a conversation about spiritual matters. He that winneth souls is wise. I want to tell you something, folks. For a church to be evangelistic, its people have to be evangelistic. Because the church is the people. Amen? And may ye shall be witnesses unto me, the Lord said. Hey, invite people to church, witness to them, give them gospel tracts, but try to win some souls to Christ this year. You say, well, they don't appreciate it. Some won't. But I tell you what, overall, you'll get a blessing out of being a witness. God will bless you for it. Amen. Some of you know that. You share the gospel. Share your testimony. Share your testimony with people and do it often. Let me give you number six. Love your family more. That's a good one. Amen. Right? That's a good resolution for the new year. Now, that shouldn't be a problem any time of year, but love your family more. Paul didn't have a family. He was gung-ho about serving the Lord so much. He said, I wish none of you got married because you'd have more time to come be with me out here on witnessing. That's what he said. But he also taught us on marriage, right? Let's hasten to say that. Love your family more. Listen, your family's not perfect, and they ought not be loved on that basis. Aren't you glad the Lord loves us in spite of ourselves? Aren't you glad our Heavenly Father loves us in spite of ourselves? Hey, if you only love your family on the basis of whether they're behaving or not, that's not the route to go. Amen, right? A spouse or a child can disappoint you. A parent can disappoint you. Look at the Bible families. I was reading about Hezekiah recently, and the statement was made that Hezekiah was sandwiched right between two wicked kings. One was his father, and the other was his son. It said that Hezekiah was the good son of a bad father, and he was the good father of a bad son. So how in the world does that happen? Brother Ron pointed out this morning that Cain and Abel were taught the exact same things in the Sunday school lesson this morning. You know, by the way, if it all turns out great for you, praise God for it and count it to the grace of God. Because I want to tell you, some other people believed and did the same things you did, and it didn't go that way. So you thank God when it does go right. Amen? You praise God. But here's what I'm saying. You keep on praying, trusting God, and loving them through it all. Amen? Right? And God will help us to do that. Let's not be on a performance basis. You know, children get tired of that. You know, I love you if. Let's don't do that, right? Love your family more this year. I thank God to bless you for that. And then let me give you one more. It's number 7. Commit to follow God's will. Commit to follow God's will. You know, he said in verse 13, I'm forgetting some things. Verse 14, he said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. He had a high calling. You know what that high calling is? The will of God for your life. Did you know, dear Christian, that you have a high calling from God? It's first of all to be saved, second of all to serve Him in the way that He wants you to. Did you know the high calling of God for you is the will of God for your life? If you'll seek the will of God this year, guess what? By the end of the year, you're still in the will of God. Amen? You don't have to worry about going astray. Over 30 times in the Bible, it's referenced about the will of God. Said, God's will, by the way, that phrase is not in the Bible. I looked it up, but there's a lot of other, the will of the Lord and so forth is in there. It's over 30 times. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. The Bible says in Psalms, teach me to do thy will. Have you prayed that one? Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Well, there's a good reason. Teach me to do thy will, because you're my God. Amen. That's the way the Christian lives. Lead me in the land of uprightness. By the way, let me say this. If I give you a theme for this year, which I didn't do last year, y'all know that, and I hadn't so far this year, but if I was to give you a theme for this year, it probably would be along these lines. That's what I've been thinking about. Do the will of God. This year, Paul, do the will of God. Paul was all about the will of God. Now, you know, there's one place we saw in the book of Acts when we went through it in Acts 21. It says, when he would not be persuaded, we ceased. They were talking about Paul. They said, when Paul, that hard-headed preacher, wouldn't listen to us. That's my interpretation of what they just said. When that hard-headed preacher wouldn't listen to us, and we told him, you can't do that, you ought not do that, and he was determined to do it anyway. They had a disagreement about something that needed to be done. Here's what they said. When he would not be persuaded, we see saying, the will of the Lord be done. They said, we cannot come to agreement on this thing, so we're going to do this. We're going to turn it over to the will of God. May the will of the Lord be done. You ever say that? This is what I'm going to do, Lord willing. You ever add that, Lord willing? I'll see you at church Sunday, Lord willing. I hear that a lot. I always say, the Lord's willing. I'll see you at church. Amen, right? But whatever it is you say you're going to do, Lord willing. By the way, that's in James chapter 4. You ought to have that attitude. Because in James chapter 4, he talked about people making plans, and he said they should have given it to the will of the Lord. Our plan should be, according to the will of God. Isn't there also a promise about prayer? It's got to be according to the will of God to get it answered, right? Get in tune with the Lord so that you can pray the right things. I tell you, we need to walk according to the will of God. What I give you today to have a great year, what do we say here? Bible, gospel, prayer, church, witness, family, and God's will. Those things will help you this year. Listen to this. This was in a Daily Bread. I found this. It was in a Daily Bread. A little devotionals. We got a different one. But anyway, the old Daily Bread said this. Some people's hair has a will of its own. It knows where it wants to go and stubbornly resists all attempts to make it do otherwise. Anybody confessing today? I'm that guy for sure. A lot of hairspray. Amen. Or just buzz it off. But anyway. Some people have their hair. Your hair has a will of its own. It's going to do what it wants to do. You got that cowlick, it won't do anything you want it to do. Others have very manageable hair. It knows the hairdresser is the boss, and it gladly receives all the help it can get with pleasant results. I like that. Which one do you have? Do you have that resistant, stubborn, rebellious hair, or do you have that compliant, manageable hair? But let's take it a little further. With you as God's child, does He have the compliant one? Yes, Lord. Or does He have the resistant, rebellious, I'm going to do my own thing child? Sometimes we all have some of that in us, right? But we need to ask God, Lord, help me here now. You're the potter. I'm the clay. I want you to shape me, make me, mold me into your likeness, into what you want me to be. He talked about being conformable. The Lord wants to conform you to His image. Amen? So next time you're fixing your hair, remember that spiritual application about, am I going to be cooperative with God today or not? And then when you're not, you can just say, When you mess up spiritually over and over again, you can just say, well, I guess it's a bad hair day about your life, right? But you don't want it to be that, amen? You want it to be manageable. Start the new year off right. The Lord will help us with these things. You know, the devotionals that you're doing right now, the Baptist Bread, there was one in there this week about J.C. Penney starting his life all over again. Did y'all read that? And about how he had read that poem or song about God will take care of you. And it changed his life and put him on the right path. Hey, you know what, folks, this year, you need to remember that. God will take care of you. But you got to remember this. A lot of the promises in the Bible are conditional. If we rebel, He can't take care of us. If we go along with Him, He can and He will. Amen? Let's be submissive to the will of God. Let's apply these things to our lives. And the Lord, I think, will help us to have a wonderful year. Amen? Let's stand together with our heads bowed here this morning, please. Start the year off right, but these are things that will keep the year going right as well. Dear Father, I pray, Lord, You'd help us now. Speak to our hearts here this morning, Lord. God, as we give this time of altar call, this time of invitation, Lord, there might be one here that needs to comply with You about salvation. They need to get saved, Lord. They need to stop fighting it. I pray they'd come this morning and be saved. Lord, I pray there may be some Christian who wants to do like Paul did, and they want to commit this year to You. And that they want to have some spiritual goals and commitments in their life. And Lord, may You help us all with these things here this morning, whatever the needs are. And I ask them in Jesus' name this morning. Our heads are bowed, the music plays. If you need to come this morning, I urge you to do so. No need to wait or hesitate. You come do business with the Lord here this morning. Pray where you are. Get on this altar, whatever the need is. Talk to the Lord about it. Ask God to help you to have a great year. Ask God to help you to do these things we talked about here in this message this morning, that these things will guide us and direct us throughout the year. Not just throughout the year, but throughout our Christian life as well. These are the basics that we need. Amen. You can look this way.